Welcome to the Mind-Muscle Connection Podcast, a show that is dedicated to educating you on applying science-based training, nutrition, and mindset strategies from some of the top minds in the industry to help you build a leaner, stronger, and more confident self. I'm your host, Jeff Hain. Let's dive in. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Mind Muscle Connection Podcast. Today is a solo episode and I'm a Q&A episode. And so before I dive into those questions, I just want to go over how you can support the podcast. So first, leave a rating and review. I know you can do this on Apple. And so that way, you know, more people can get access to this information. And then you can follow me on Instagram at JeffH91 underscore. That's where I put out most of my content. I also have an email list where I'll send out about 4 emails a week. This will help you stay on top of all the content I put out, plus some special content, as well as you stay up to date on any offers or anything that I have going on. Lastly, I have my one-on-one coaching service. And so this is for you if you need a little bit more structure or accountability with your training or nutrition. You know, maybe you're somebody that does train and you just need to take things to the next level, or maybe you have been working hard and you're just stuck. This is another situation where the one-on-one coaching could be for you. And there's obviously other situations as well. So if you are interested in this, the link for the application is in my show notes. And again, you're not obligated to anything there. It would just open up the conversation and we can kind of chat about, you know, what you're looking for exactly, how it can help you, and if it would even be something that you are interested in. So with that out of the way, let's dive into the question. So first, when very underweight, should we aim for a higher protein intake? So I didn't dig any deeper on this with the person that asked it. So I'm assuming that their goal obviously is to gain weight. You know, I hear very underweight, so I would imagine that they want to gain weight. Now, before I go into anything deeper, if this is something that, you know, you are like, you have some sort of medical condition or something like that, you obviously need to seek out a doctor or like a registered dietitian for this. And, or if there's like some sort of eating disorder going on where it's like, that's why you're very underweight, then obviously, you know, I would really push you towards seeking out that help there on that. That would be my first thing that I just want to go over. Now, if somebody came to me and they didn't have a medical condition or like some sort of eating disorder, then, you know, I get the thought process here of, oh, hey, I want to just, you know, we need protein to build lean body mass. I'm underweight. And so I want to just gain muscle. I don't want to gain any body fat. So therefore I need to increase my protein intake to make sure that I gain muscle. And I think that this probably is a suboptimal way to get there. In this situation, you need to just gain weight. Like that needs to be the priority. Yes, there's probably going to be a little bit of body fat, which, you know, I don't know what this particular person looks like or anything like that. But in most situations, if you're very underweight, you likely need to add some. We want it to be a combination of some body fat and some lean body mass. Now, there's things that we can do to ensure that on the way up, most of it is lean body mass. But in this situation, you probably need to gain a little bit of body fat. So with that out of the way, the thing here with this is, We just need to get calories in. Yes, you know, you want to make sure protein isn't super low, but once you get to kind of a certain point here, adding in more protein isn't going to be great. So if you're underweight and are looking to gain weight, then you need to find ways to eat more calorie dense foods that make it easier to get enough calories in, because the issue you're in is you're just haven't been eating enough calories. And whether that be, again, this goes back to if you do have some eating disorder or something like that, like you have to get that, you have to seek that out with, you know, medical help. But if you just undereat because maybe you don't want to eat certain foods, or again, you've always tried to diet for fat loss and now it's like, you know, dang, I need to actually gain some weight a little bit. Like the problem here is that you're in a calorie deficit, right? Whether that be from genetics or what, you know, maybe for you, it's just tougher to hang on to your weight or whatever the situation may be. Like we have to find ways to get enough calories in. And if you're just only eating like, you know, your quote unquote healthy foods, you know, foods that are high food volume, have a lot of fiber, like it's going to be very hard to get in the amount of calories that you need. So this is almost the opposite advice that you would give to somebody trying to lose weight. You know, that's going to be like, hey, we want to get more, you know, we want to get more protein in because we want to make sure that you're staying full. We want to get more fruits and veggies in, more fiber, more whole foods, because we need to keep you feeling full. Whereas in this situation, you just have to get calories in. So you almost need to go on the opposite end where let's get in more calorie dense type foods. And again, in saying this, like I wouldn't let protein get too low But I also, there is no benefit of going more than like 0.6 to 1 gram per pound of body weight in this situation, because if anything, if you know, once you get to this like 0.6-ish, 0.8 grams per pound of body weight, it's like you're going to pretty much maximize all the muscle gain benefits out of that protein intake. Anything more than that, and you're going to, it just is going to like, you know, make you feel fuller, and you're not going to get any extra benefit out of, and if anything, it might kind of spike up your energy expenditure slightly as well too, because protein uses, takes the most energy to absorb and digest. So again, in this situation, you're just making that tougher. And if you get more protein, again, you're going to feel more full, and it's just going to be tough to get in the calories you need to gain weight. So that's my thing here. Like with this, no, you wouldn't want to go for a higher protein intake if you're trying to gain weight, right? Now, again, you don't want to let it fall too far, because you do want to maintain your muscle and build muscle in the process. And I think anything under than like 0.6 grams per pound in body weight is probably a bit low. Also, you know, well, this is a question, the same person had the question that I'm going to go on to next, but, you know, we do want to make sure that you're getting most of your protein through like the protein sources that have all the amino acids in them as well. You know, whole protein sources, rather than like, if you are trying to gain a bunch of weight and it's like, you look and like most of it's from like pasta or foods that you aren't typically your proteins, like you probably need to bump that up a little bit. So just to sum it up, you know, if you're trying to gain weight, there's no benefit of going more than like 0.6 to 0.8 grams per pound of body weight of protein. From there, you just need to add in foods that are going to make hitting your calorie goal much easier. All right. So next question, and this goes off of that, is when counting macros, does protein from pasta or bread count? So all your protein that you have, it counts, right? It's not like, oh, hey, that was from pasta, so that protein, like it's protein. It is still protein at the end of the day. So it does count, but I would make sure that at least some, if not most of your protein comes through complete protein sources. So things from like pasta or bread, like they don't have all the essential amino acids that you need, right? So they're lacking in like one or two of them. And so it makes it not a complete protein source. This isn't bad, but it just, if you just ate like, for example, all pasta or something, you're just only going to get like certain amino acids, and you're going to be potentially miss out on some of those main ones that you need. So this is why, like, for example, you know, they say beans and rice, right? Like beans and rice is going to give you that protein, the essential amino acid profile that you need to have it be a complete protein source, right? But again, if you just ate beans, like you wouldn't get all of it. You need to also have like the rice in there as well. So if you have a lot of complementary proteins, then you just need to make sure you get it from multiple sources to get all the essential amino acids. Again, my example being beans and rice. And if you do get like most of your protein from these sources, like you probably do need to have your protein intake be a little bit higher. But if you're very good at like mixing and matching, you would be in a good spot. But again, it's not like, oh, hey, that protein doesn't count because it's from pasta. You know, it still counts, but you still do just want to make sure, you know, you get the majority of your protein through your whole protein sources, right? These are your typical like lean meats, you know, dairy, you know, that type of protein, right? Again, the complementary ones or anything that is in like oats and like pasta and bread and beans and stuff like that. Veggies and everything. So again, still count it. Just, you probably need to just make sure you're getting the right combinations. And if you do get a lot of it from those complementary protein sources, you probably need to have your protein be a little bit higher, but it does still count. So how detrimental is it to catch up on missed calories from the previous day? So I think this is very goal dependent. But before I go into that, I think first, if it just happens once, it isn't a big deal. Okay. So like, if you just do it one time, like you're not going to all of a sudden like miss out on all of this, all these gains and fat loss or muscle gain or whatever it may be. Now, if it's happening regularly, then you do need to look into this a bit more. You know, if it's, I don't know if I said second or not, but not second yet. This still goes on to that first point that I made. If it is happening regularly, then you do need to look into this, right? Is it, you need to plan ahead? Do you need to have, again, maybe meal prep, like whatever it may be, you need to look into it if it's happening regularly and fix that. Second, it does depend on how much we are talking. You know, if you're looking at like 100 calories from one day to the next, okay, that's really not a big deal. You know, I give clients a range of at least, in fat loss phases, a little bit lower, smaller of a range. In maintenance phases, maybe a little bigger. So like, for example, you know, maybe in maintenance, we're at like 16 we're like 1800 to 2200 in fat loss phases. You know, we might be at like 16 to 1700 or 16 to 1800, depending on the client's like skill. So we want to have a range anyway. So again, if we're talking 100 calories, not a big deal. It's not going to make this, it's not going to matter. But, you know, if it's like 300 to 500 plus calories, then I do think it starts to have a greater effect on everything. So we need to look at how often it happens and how big that variation is from day to day. Again, the less it happens, the smaller that variation is. Really doesn't matter. I wouldn't worry about that too much. Now, the more often it starts to happen and the larger that variation is from one day to day, then we need to look into that a little bit more. So let's kind of break this down in terms of the three kind of like phases that we do, right? We would do a building phase, we would do a maintenance phase, and we would do a fat loss phase. Those would be the three most common nutrition phases or goal phases that we would have with clients. So first with building. So again, building, our main goal there is to build muscle. I don't like this strategy for building phases. I like for clients to be very from day to day, pretty much the same, just because, you know, we're in a building phase and we want to limit how often we are in a energy deficit. And if you have these days that fluctuate from day to day, you kind of risk being potentially in an energy deficit, especially if you're like at the point where you're closer to your maintenance. It's like those days that you go on. It's like, if you have a day that is super high, in order to make up for that, it's like that one day has to be lower. And so you're going to risk being in a deficit for that day. And we really want to limit how often we are in a deficit in a building phase. So for that, I don't like this strategy. I think that, again, if this happens once, it's no big deal. If it happens once every couple of weeks, again, no big deal. But you need to look at fixing that and making sure it doesn't happen regularly. And again, if it's only like 100 calories, I'm not worried about it. If you have one day where, let's say you're building calories on average is 2,300. If you have one day where you're like 2,200 and then 20, like that doesn't matter. It's where, again, like one day you're at like 3,200 and then the next day you go in at like 1,500. That's where it's like, okay, now this is going to start to add up. We need to close that gap. We can't have one day where you're super high in calories and then super low because, you know, obviously the one day you're going to be in a deficit, but then the day you are in that surplus, like you're not going to gain fat that quickly, but you're telling your body just like, it's going to be a little bit more primed to store body fat because of the massive surplus that you are in there. And then you also send that signal of, hey, in a deficit, and your body's just going to hold on to a little bit more body fat and less muscle in that situation. So yes, maybe on average in building phase, it's like you have those, we just want in a building phase, we want to limit those day-to-day trends. We want to be a little bit closer together. I don't like large variations for that. Let's go fat loss. So I think this is a fine strategy for fat loss. I think, you know, this could be called calorie cycling, carb cycling, whatever. I think this is a fine strategy for that. Again, so long as like the variation isn't massive, but you do have a little bit more larger variation from day to day in fat loss phases. Now, a couple things to look out for if you do this. Just make sure protein doesn't get too low on the low days. So one thing I'll commonly see here is a client does this. They have a day where they go a little bit higher, then they go a little bit lower. It's easy to let your protein fall on those low days because you don't have as many calories and you end up eating mostly protein on those low days, which for most people sucks, right? Like that's not a fun way to eat. So you just have to really look out for protein on those low days and make sure it doesn't get too low. Next, look out for hunger response to the low days. So, and this could just kind of feed into the kind of typical yo-yo dieting where it's like a high day, low day. And I think it can make it that day worse because you have a day where you go low calorie. So the next day you get this hunger response of, oh, hey, I'm super hungry. And then it's harder to say no to things, willpower stuffer. And typically on those days that you're not like, oh, hey, I'm just going to fill up on, you know, whole foods that are going to keep me feeling full. It's, you know, foods that are going to be tasty and those are hard to moderate. So you kind of have this like double whammy there where you're hungry. You also eat foods that are going to cause you to crave that type of food more. And so it's just very, very tough to manage and moderate on those days. So you end up having these days where, again, you go super high and then super low, and it just kind of feeds into that binge restrict kind of cycle, that yo-yo cycling there. So want to be careful with that. Maintenance, again, I think you can have this kind of flexibility from day to day, but with all these, we just don't want to have days where you are very high and then very low. Because again, I don't think that feeds into that yo-yo cycle, yo-yo dieting cycle that I was talking about. But, you know, if muscle, like if maximizing muscle growth isn't your goal, which if you're at maintenance, it probably isn't anyways. But if you are really trying to like, you know, build as much muscle as you can in a maintenance phase, this probably isn't the strategy for you. But if you're more just like, hey, I really just want to kind of, I'm happy with where my muscle's at. I just want to kind of maintain my weight. Then I think this is a fine strategy for you where you can have some higher and lower days and you can kind of catch up on miss calories from the previous day. But I think the big thing, just be careful with this. If it's a planned thing, that makes it better, but you probably don't want to do this in a building phase. More so in a fat loss phase, just look out for your hunger response to the low days. And then, you know, maintenance phases, just kind of see what your goals are. Again, if you're really trying to build a little bit of muscle or whatnot, then probably not the best. But if you're just worried about, I don't really care about adding muscle, I just want to keep what I have and I want to maintain my weight, then I think you can do this. So hopefully that was helpful, guys. If you have any questions on anything, let me know and I will chat with you guys next week.
Thank you for listening. If you want more free content like this, follow me on Instagram at jeffh91_ or visit jhhealth.net. See you next time.